Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. Thanks for joining us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian continues his study on the spiritual gift of teaching, and he looks at the labor that is involved in the preparation of a study or a sermon. So let's go to Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, and Pastor Brian Parrish.
And if you're a teacher, you need to follow this example that Paul says in verse 29, "To this end I also labor, the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God." There's a labor that's involved. It's not an easy task. Now, sometimes people will ask me, you know, because they don't understand, they say, you know, what do you really do during the week? You know, you got Sunday morning, you work on Sunday and Wednesday night, but what do you do in between then? And sometimes I am tempted to say, well, I like to golf on Monday, surfing on Tuesday, then I got to rest from all that on Thursday, you know. And there's a labor that's involved in the teaching of Scripture. There's spiritual warfare that takes place. There's a laboring in prayer to say, Lord, what is it that you are desiring to say? And I have commentaries and resources that I study and restudy so that I make sure I get what is that text is saying to represent it properly. And he says, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And I don't think I'm the only one called as a teacher to work with such labor. Now, obviously my life is set apart to be able to do so, but if you are a teacher in the Sunday school, meditate on this passage of Scripture. You have little lambs that God's given to you, and I don't think it's any different than me being faithful to the ministry God's called me. You need to labor. You need to give the best possible study to those little lambs that you could possibly do with the abilities that God has given to you. Take the resources and pray and let God, by His Spirit, move upon your hearts and labor over those things. Don't read it on the way to church and come up with something. Some of you are looking convicted at this point. I mean, you wouldn't want me, as I'm driving to church, to put a Bible study together real quickly, would you? You want me to study. You want me to present something that's from the heart of God and that's going to build your life up and touch your hearts. Our little children, they're longing for the same thing. We want to bless them. And there's a labor involved, and it may involve, you know, staying up after hours after work or on a Saturday night or getting up early on a Sunday morning, but really put your heart into that. Or if you teach your own Bible study, the same aspect, any aspect of a teacher, you need to be a studier of the Word of God. And it's not easy to study. And you may say, well, I didn't do real good in school studying. Well, you know, with the Word of God, it's a little different. You know, I didn't study when I was in high school. I really wasn't motivated to do so. I did study when we had a test on the way when the bell rang or after lunch walking to class. And that was typically the way I studied because I wasn't motivated to do so. You don't want to do that with the Word. But when I went to Bible school, it was like I couldn't study enough because I was motivated. I wanted to learn God's Word for myself, then also be able to present it accurately. And that has to be the heart of a teacher. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A laborer that doesn't need to be ashamed. You know, God sees what effort you put into the study and the preparation of God's Word. And it's the more effort you put into it, the better you're going to be equipped to teach, the more you're going to have to give. I typically have more to say than I'm able to say on a Wednesday or a Sunday. And I know that you find that hard to believe, but that's so true. I prepare a lot, and I want to give out so much, but there's only so much time. But prepare yourself through His mighty working. And so it's not just the labor of the study. That comes first. But then as you begin to teach, you're relying fully upon God's power to speak through you and to minister to people's lives. And in Ephesians chapter 4, another fundamental passage that we really base everything on here. Ephesians 4, verse really 11 through 16, but I'll read verses 11 through 12. It says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And here's what we're to do for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Then it talks about the edifying, the doctrine, so you're not deceived. So the body of Christ, everyone does its share, and it promotes growth. So I believe that my role is to study, to pray, to teach the Word in such a way that it promotes you and what you are called to do, so that you're equipped better to do the work of the ministry. And if that's not happening, then the Word of God's not taking the effect that it should have. If you just kind of see your part as just coming here and sitting in a study, then something's wrong. My role is to help you get better equipped to do what God has called you to do. And that's why you need to receive the studies as preparing you for the task that God has for you in your ministry in what He has called you to do. And as that's happening, more and more ministry will flourish and be raised up. I'm excited what the Lord's doing. There are a lot of ministries that are being raised up at this time and a lot that's going out. I'm excited about that. But I got to tell you, as the way I am, I'm never satisfied because there's still more work to be done. You never quite come to the end of your ministry as a church saying, we could take a rest now. We've done all that we're supposed to do. There's still more people that need to be saved, more lives that need to be touched, more hurting people that need to be ministered to, the grace of God. And so I want to see more ministry raised up and more people equipped to do what God's called them. Let's look at this. Let's go to the third point. This is for you. I want to talk about getting the most out of God's Word. Getting the most out of God's Word. And we'll look at two or three scriptures on this point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I mean, if you want to grow and if you want to see your life increased from the teaching of the Word of God, some of that relates to you. I kind of see it as a 50-50 proposition here. I have to do my best to pray and study, present the Word accurately, and discern what it is that the Lord is desiring to emphasize that night. That's my role. But your role is to come with an open heart, ready to receive the Word of God, a heart that's hungry, that's wanting increase. And that's your responsibility. And the way to do that, I believe, is first having a respect for the Word of God, as well as setting aside sin within our life that begins to muddle the heart and harden the heart towards the teaching of God's Word. And Paul says of this church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it." And so there's a welcoming of the Word of God first. "Not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." And so as you welcome the Word of God, it's going to effectively work in your heart. God's going to bring conviction, God's going to bring encouragement, and it's going to stir something within your hearts. It's going to have an effect upon your life. And by the supernatural power of God, it's going to work in you. Jump over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 1 ends, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore," it says, "laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." So he starts, first of all, you need to lay aside sin, and then what happens, you desire the word of God. And if you don't set aside sin, the receptivity as the word is preached is going to be dulled. Because how could you listen to a message on God's mercy and forgiveness when there's malice in your heart? What's going to happen? You're going to be wrestling with, "Oh, why is he talking about that? And I came on the wrong Sunday." Or, you know, why does he move on to some other point? I don't want to hear this at this point. And the seed of the word of God, which will effectively work in those who welcome it, is being quenched out. So he says, laying aside malice, guile, hypocrisy. And that's what'll quench out the word of God almost 100%. You come in here all spiritual, but you live a totally different lifestyle outside, the word of God's not going to have any impact upon your life because your real desire is to live contrary to the things of God. And you've went to church, but it's had no impact upon you. And the gospel was preached, but you're acting spiritual in church and totally different outside. It's just not going to happen. The Word of God's not going to impact your life. And envy and all evil speaking. You know, we're teaching on the body of Christ and how all the different gifts are related to one another, and we're one body formed together, and these gifts are given by the grace of God so that grace would flow out and minister to everybody else. How could we receive that when there's evil speaking going on about people or behind people's back? You know, that's a serious issue. You know, the unity of the body of Christ is such a sensitive thing. We need to be united in hearts, but also united in our speech. You know, my mom told me something many times over and over and over again when I was a kid. You probably heard it, and you probably repeated it. You can't say something nice, don't say it at all. I know that's not in the Bible, but the principle is there. Evil speaking corrupts what God is wanting to build by His Spirit. The Bible says, endeavor to keep the unity of the bond of peace. Gossip is something that God hates. And Sunday morning, I'm praying I may go into 1 Corinthians 10 and look at that scripture that speaks about murmuring. Maybe that's what the Lord's leading me to do. I'll be praying about that. It's just something that's been quickened to my heart. And so maybe you're getting advance notice, advance warning here. Knock it off. Because the Word of God's not going to have any impact. I mean, you come into church and there's this person, you know, light on there. I don't want to sit. I'm going to sit over on this side of the church, far away. How are you going to worship? How are you going to listen to the Word of God? You're going to be more interested in that other person. Oh, look, they're taking notes. Oh, they're acting very spiritual. They're really not.